listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hello, this is Errol C., and this is the live stream of TeamSpeak on the Fakeologist audio chat. Today is October 31st, 2014. Hope everyone's doing well. Been trying to catch up on all the podcasts on Fakeologist. I heard the one with, forget the chap's name. I had a show last Sunday. It was very interesting. Talking about Ebola and also that he had witnessed 9/11. That was pretty cool. And he talked about seeing a hole in the building. You know, I think it makes sense to me. I think they put explosives in those positions to look like holes that a plane would have created. And that would not have been hard to do. If you're planting explosives in that building, you can plant them anywhere you want and make it look like a plane hit. They want to make it as real as possible, so I thought that was a great interview. That was a bonus. I was listening to another Tom and CT. He was on the Mike Sledge program on September 30th. And I always find Tom very interesting, what he has to say. He's kind of a mysterious character. He seems to pop up. Well, he was on John Friend for a long time, and now he's no longer with John. And now he's been popping up on The Sledge Show, which is on Blog Talk. So I'll play a little clip of what I found interesting on that September 30th show. And I'll see if I can find it right now.
Well, one of the things that you're really the best at, Tom, and I want to get you on, maybe you can come on next week, on next Thursday for a whole hour, or maybe the whole show, to talk about media deception, if you would.
Yeah, you know what? No problem. But this is such a bottomless pit. You know, as far as a topic, it's not something that's simple. It's multifaceted, and the really crazy thing is that you know, this isn't opinion. It needs to be presented in a way that, and I need your advice on this and how to do it, to present it to people in a way that does not seem like it's opinion, because it isn't. I'm explaining facts here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, you know, Alex Jones is trying to, speaking of the so-called alternative media on this topic we're talking about, Alex Jones right now is trying to corner the market on this by saying that, which he has a point, but he's not showing the real evidence, in that Turkey, the Turkish film industry, produced, has a series in Turkey where they actually showed beheadings taking place in the Middle East by a group that was dressed just like ISIS in all black, okay? And it's the same backdrop. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So you see what Alex Jones always does is he takes something that is true, particularly on media deception, and he twists it so people really don't see the facts, and it comes out as opinion, like you're saying, and then that issue is discredited and dropped because he discredits that particular issue, and he's doing it now. When there is big evidence to look at there with this backdrop from Turkish film industry and the how they produce beheadings on their own TV, right? I mean,
yeah,
this is a huge issue.
It is, and you know, the way to approach this to the untrained person, it's going to seem almost impossible. You know, you're going to be, you know, sort of like, it's almost like trying to diagnose a disease if you're not a trained physician. Okay, how are you going to do that? Well, you know, he's got a fever and it hurts or whatever. Okay, great. What do you think it might be? All right, without having without being trained in diagnosis and methods of determining causes and effects, right? You're gonna have a lot of problems. The guy might die on you. There is a science called counter deception, and that is something that we are going to educate the public on.
Okay, I'll just stop it right there. Counter deception. I think that's what we're trying to do with all of our research with Fakeologist and other websites. Counter deception. I think that's very profound, and I think Tom has been training himself, and I think we've been trying to train ourselves to filter out the falsehoods and the realities, which is which, and it's very, very difficult. Like you said, it's a bottomless pit. There's so much out there. There's so many stories to investigate. There's so many facets to certain stories like JFK and 9/11. There's millions of alternate theories. It can take years and years to train yourself. But I think it's so important that we try some kind of, well, what he's talking about, there's some science. There's a science of deception, so there must be a science of not being deceived. It's pretty good. He's really an interesting guy. I like to listen to what he has to say. I don't agree with everything he says, but you don't agree with everyone anyway.
What do the planets mean? And have you ever seen sunrise in the morning? It shined when you were born. Saturn has rings all around it. I searched the sky and I found it.
I was looking at a copy of Newsweek today, and it's a space exploration special. And I opened up the first couple of pages, and I saw the picture of the astronauts floating in the swimming pool, the exact same picture that Aberato used as one of his Fakeologist banners. And as soon as I saw that, I thought of the Fakeologist banner, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. The exact same picture just kind of shows how the Fakeologist is pretty cool. That was Solar System by the Beach Boys. Well, there's been a big controversy about a Canadian CBC or former CBC broadcaster, Jean Gomeshi, and it's been all over the Canadian media about his personal habits and preferences in they call it BDSM, and he's had a lot of accusations thrown at him. It's interesting that he has not been charged with any criminal charges because the police chief of Toronto said that nobody has actually pressed charges against him. So I'm just kind of starting to wonder, is he being set up for a fall? Who knows? But I have an interview here of that he conducted with Bruce Coburn. Now, John Gomeshi has done some excellent interviews. There's tons of them on YouTube. From his show called Q, CBC Q program. He's interviewed many celebrities, musicians, movie stars, politicians, and he's actually a very good interviewer. So I have a little segment here with him talking to Canadian singer Bruce Coburn, and they talk about, well, they touch on 9/11. So here we go.
You've included the song Put It In Your Heart on this new record as well, this new double record. In 2003, you released this song. It was a reaction to the events of 9/11. And you said that after that in an interview that when you were watching the coverage on TV, you had said to yourself, here's something that's very new. I found myself watching TV like everyone else on September 11th, and I thought, how pathetic to address something like that with a song. You obviously got past that and wrote the song. How did you get past that?
Well, that was my initial reaction, and I mean, I would have loved to have written a song that fit in the immediate response to that. But I was just kind of thunderstruck. I didn't know what to say about a thing like that, or how to approach. Well, I guess if I'd known what to say, I would have known how to approach saying it. But I didn't have a clue, and it took months for things to kind of settle, and it took watching the effect on other people, especially in the U.S. Where there such an us and them mentality took hold. And of course, the us and them mentality was obviously subscribed to by the perpetrators of the deed as well, in a big way. That's really where the song came from. It's all about the us and them and how there shouldn't be that.
And the us and them, the song seems to particularly target religious fundamentalism, right?
Yeah, because that's the expression of something. I don't think that I think that tendency is in human nature. It's not about religion exactly, but it gets that anger and dissatisfaction that we all carry in us in different ways gets projected out into the world and gets expressed as religious affiliation or as hatred of the other, or whatever. So there we are, and if you ever needed a reason to understand what's wrong with hatred of the other, there it is. Right? Yeah. People die. People inflict pain on each other. And this is assuming, of course, that the version that we've been told is actually what happened, which I'm not entirely convinced of. But there's no question.
The version of 9/11?
Yeah, but I don't want to go there right now. But it's too long a conversation. Mm. And I don't have any particular insight into it either, or ideas. But just that I don't believe all of what we were told about it. But But the fact remains that whatever it is, there's a whole bunch of people in the Islamic world and a whole bunch of people in the Christian fundamentalist world and a whole bunch of people in, you know, market fundamentalist world or whatever that think their way of doing things is the only way, and they need to and have a right to inflict that on the rest of us.
So that was Bruce Cockburn a couple of years ago being interviewed by Jen Gmeshi, and he lets slip out that he doesn't quite agree with the official story, which is quite hopeful. But he mentioned he didn't want to get into it because it's a rabbit trail. Of course it is. He knows it. And he doesn't exactly want to put himself on the spot to take a particular stand on a national radio program. In fact, that's going to be seen throughout the world. So that was Bruce Cockburn with being interviewed by Jen Gmeshi on 9/11. Well, partially on 9/11. It was about a year ago that... musician, singer, songwriter Lou Reed passed away. And I've always been a fan of the Velvet Underground. I think they were a pretty cool band. Some kind of groundbreaking stuff. They were kind of one of the prototype punk rock bands. They had an edgy sound, edgy topics, really driving beats, you know, very primitive, almost tribal sounding music at times. Very tender music. It could be hard and heavy. It could be tender. So I think I'll play one of my favorite tracks by the Velvet Underground from their third album called What Goes On.
What goes on in your mind? I think that I am falling down. What goes on in your mind? I think that I am upside down. Let it be good. What you should, you know it'll work all right. Let it be good, do what you should, you know it'll be all right. I'm going up and I'm going down. I'm gonna fly from side to side. See the bells up in the sky. Somebody's cut the string in two. Let it be good, do what you should, you know it'll work all right. Let it be good, do what you should, you know it'll be all right.
That was What Goes On from the Velvet Underground's third album, self-titled album from 1969. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio. Here's a little recent clip from Bill Maher's show. He touches on a lot of little things we've been discussing on Fakeologist and in the media, all in a 1 minute and 53 second comedic monologue. And some people didn't like him making a joke about the Ottawa shooting. Here it is, Bill Maher.
The other big story this week, terror has a new face, much like Renee Zellweger. And ladies and gentlemen... You're right. Too far. Too soon. Too far and too soon. No. No, it's Canadian terrorism. There was, I'm sure you saw this, an attack on the Canadian Parliament. The shooter, we know now, was a convert to, well, I don't want to be called a bigot, so I'll just say a religion. I don't know which one. That's how much of a liberal I am, because it's equally likely it could be any religion. You know what? I think it was the Amish. I think the guy was Amish. No, he was... He was a guy who was he's a jihadist, a Muslim jihadist, and a Canadian jihadist. Wow. The authorities are calling him Vanilla ISIS. It's, and I I mean, I love Canada. I feel for them. Everybody up there is on edge now. Rob Ford today said, I guess I picked the wrong week to quit smoking crack. But here's what I don't get about this. The attacker made known his wish to go join ISIS in Syria, and the government took away his passport. We do the same thing. I don't get it. How about this? If a guy, a violent religious nut, says he wants to go to Syria, let him. Here's a plane ticket. Your connection is in Liberia. Good luck. And really, Canada, if we're going to start confiscating passports, couldn't we start with Bieber? Justin Bieber! Justin Bieber! Justin Bieber! Justin Bieber! Justin Bieber! Justin Bieber! Justin Bieber!
I was listening to Chris Kendall on a podcast recently, I think with Marcus, and they were talking about something called social proof, and it got me intrigued to what that exactly was. So this is the Wikipedia definition of social proof. Social proof, also known as informational social influence, is a psychological phenomenon where people assume the actions of others in an attempt to reflect correct behavior for a given situation. This effect is prominent in ambiguous social situations where people are unable to determine the appropriate mode of behavior and is driven by the assumption that surrounding people possess more knowledge about the situation. The effects of social influence can be seen in the tendency of large groups to conform to choices which may be either correct or mistaken, a phenomenon sometimes referred to as herd behavior. Although social proof reflects a rational motive to take into account the information possessed by others, formal analysis shows that it can cause people to converge too quickly upon a single choice, so that decisions of even large groups of individuals may be grounded in very little information. Social proof is a type of conformity. When a person is in a situation where they are unsure of the correct way to behave, they will often look to others for cues concerning the correct behavior. When we conform because we believe that the other's interpretation of an ambiguous situation is more accurate than ours, and will help us choose an appropriate course of action. It is informational social influence. This is contrasted with normative social influence, wherein a person conforms to be liked or accepted by others. Liked, just like Facebook. oh, please like me or like this or join this. Or it's very interesting. Social proof often leads not only to public compliance, but conforming to the behavior of others publicly without necessarily believing it is correct, but also a private acceptance. Conforming out of a genuine belief that others are correct. Social proof is more powerful when being accurate is more important and when others are perceived as especially knowledgeable. So obviously social proof is a powerful weapon used by the powers that be. Let's face it, 9/11 is a perfect example, you know? Everybody believes the planes hit because they saw it on television. They saw a video of it, and that was quickly inserted into the narrative. Look at the Ebola thing. I mean, they're trying to make us panic and be afraid of one person that might have been exposed to an Ebola virus. So the social proof is a very powerful weapon that I think we have to be aware of and we have to guard ourselves against, because it's so prevalent in our society, and Facebook is a huge part of the social proof now. They call it social media, don't they? Social media, social proof. Here is an example of social proof. Some Canadian celebrities created a video to encourage people to get inoculations. Now, you won't recognize any of these voices because they're Canadian celebrities.
You know, everything changes when you have kids.
There's literally nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
That I wouldn't do for them.
Especially when it comes to keeping them healthy and safe.
Young children are among those at highest risk of serious illness from the flu. And those aged 6 to 10 are most likely to spread the flu virus because of closeness to other kids, especially in school.
It's hard when they're even just a little bit sick.
I just couldn't imagine seeing them in the hospital. Or worse, but it happens.
The flu is not a cold, and it can be serious. It can lead to hospitalizations or even death. And last year in Ontario, there were more than 700 children under 10 with confirmed influenza that were hospitalized, and 8 deaths were reported.
We're constantly doing things to keep our kids safe, right?
We put them in car seats.
Make sure they wear bike helmets.
Peanut-free environments.
The flu shot is a safe and effective way to keep your family from getting influenza.
Make sure they get the shot so they don't get the flu.
It only makes sense.
The flu shot is free and available at healthcare providers' offices and public health clinics. And there are more than 2,000 pharmacies across Ontario offering the flu shot to you and your children over 5 years of age. And except for our littlest ones under 6 months, everybody should get their shot every year and as early as possible.
Make sure your kids get the flu shot. And hey, get it yourself while you're at it.
Getting the flu from others is easier than you think. Get the flu shot and get it early to protect you and your family.
Ontario's kids will thank you.
My kids.
My kids.
My kids. My kids will thank you.
This week was the election in Toronto for mayor. And Rob Ford had to drop out because of his cancer. And he ran as a councillor again, which he'd been for several years before he became mayor in 2010. And most people have heard the saga of Rob Ford. His brother ran in his stead for mayor and did pretty well. He was only short by about 60,000 votes, which was a lot closer than the third opponent, Olivia Chow. It's going to be interesting. Rob Ford is going to be a councillor again. He got voted in as a councillor, so he'll be there as a... He said he'll hold the new mayor's feet to the fire. I kind of like Rob Ford. He's kind of a rambunctious kind of guy, no nonsense. He appeals to the common man, and which I am. And, you don't agree with everybody, but if you're going to choose, you might as well... I'd choose Rob Ford over a lot of other guys. Time will tell. Anyway, this is a song that I heard on YouTube. It's called Ford Nation. They call all the supporters of Rob Ford Ford Nation. So they use auto-tune very skillfully. You can find it on YouTube if you do a search for Rob Ford Sings Ford Nation. And here it is for your listening pleasure. Ecologist Radio, Rob Ford.
Here's a look at how we ended up where we are today.
I was elected to go down to City Hall to end the gravy train. Yes, I'm human. I made mistakes, but I'm working out every day. I have a lot of work to do. I'm not stepping down. I guarantee you're going to see a change. I guarantee I'm working out every day.
Folks, I went into Walmart the other day, and it was just nonstop. We support you. Ignore the media. Keep moving forward.
And you're going to see action like you've never seen before.
Keep moving forward
like you've never seen before. Stay the course. Stay the course. Ford Nation. I love being here. I love this city. Ford Nation. You didn't kill anybody. I like Teddy Kennedy. Ford Nation.
We got the subway train. Stop gravy train. We got the subway train.
Ford Nation. I'm working with a team of professionals. You're going to see a gene. You're going to see a gene.
In spite of everything that's happened, you believe Rob Ford still has a good chance of being reelected?
Yeah, I think he absolutely can. People who say he can't have not been paying attention. If he drops 60 pounds as he says he's going to, and he keeps his nose clean, if he can look like he's changed, then people will think that he's changed.
Change.
Change.
You're gonna see a change. You're gonna see a change.
So why should the public believe you?
I do not use crack cocaine.
Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine.
You didn't ask the correct question, so I wasn't lying.
Marijuana while you've been there.
Yes.
Crack while you've been there.
Yes.
And you purchase drugs yourself.
Yes. I came forward and now I've been punched.
Rob Ford is unique. It doesn't seem to bother him. He doesn't care if blaming himself as a victim. He doesn't seem to have shame.
I guarantee you're going to see a change.
Has the issue of a political leader's integrity become inconsequential to us?
Everyone needs a second chance.
Can't change the past. The past is the past. It is what it is. Can't change the past. Only time will tell. It is what it is. I'll take a urine test right now. Can't change the past.
Some people think Rob Ford is dumb. I do not think Rob Ford is dumb.
This reminds me of when Saddam attacked Kuwait. And President Bush said, I warn you, I warn you, I warn you.
He might not get into Harvard, but I do not think Rob Ford is dumb.
Can't change the past.
Ford is a deeply flawed man. But I'd take him drunk over his left-wing predecessor sober.
Can't change the past.
I am not perfect. I've admitted to my mistakes.
You didn't kill anybody. I'm working out every day.
Ford Nation. Ford Nation. Ford Nation.
formation.
Can't change the past.
Formation.
I love being there. I love the city.
Formation.
You didn't kill anybody. I'm like Ted Kennedy.
Formation.
We got the subway train. Stop, gravy train. We got the subway train.
Formation.
To have change.
Change. I guarantee you're gonna see a change.
Formation.
Why should the public forgive you?
Look at my record. I'm an average guy.
Formation.
Please afford not a wink.
If you had more gay friends, would you not wear the tie?
Formation.
We got the subway train. Stop, gravy train. We got the subway train.
Formation.
To have change.
Formation.
Formation. Formation. Formation.
This is Errol C. Thanks for listening to Fakeologist Radio.
May the good Lord take a liking to you and blow you up real good.
Hi, I'm Rublisk, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.